Hey there, my name is Bethany Bravery, and I'm the host of the Bringing Her Hope podcast. But even more than that, I want you to know that you are welcome into this conversation, that there is a seat for you at this table. And I can't wait for you to meet each and every one of these amazing women who I know will inspire you to also live out the story that God is calling you to, and to give you hope that He will be faithful to redeem your story as well. We will laugh together for sure, and most definitely cry. But you know what? I get so excited about the thought that together we can grow deeper in love with Jesus, that we can jump with both feet into the adventure He has for us. So get ready. It's going to be a crazy, amazing ride. My guest today is Angela Pinkston. Angela is a wife and a mom and a musician and a worship leader at her church. You see, Angela and her husband, Michael, were married for 15 years before separating and eventually signed divorce papers. But God. Man, through faith and forgiveness and prayer and community, they reunited in marriage 5 years later. I cannot wait to share their story of redemption after divorce. Hey friends, Bethany Bravery here. Welcome back to another episode of the Bringing Her Hope podcast. I'm really excited for you to meet my new friend, Angela Pinkston. Angela, thanks so much for being on the show.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, well, I was born and raised in Alaska, loved it there, grew up. And when I was about 5 years old, I began playing piano, which is important in my story just because of who I am and what I do today, which is I am a worship pastor at Jesus Pursuit Church here in Albany, Oregon. But I grew up in a Christian family. You know, I was one of those kids, if any of you are like me, I felt like I was born on the church pew kind of thing, and was there just all the time, and grew up and probably, I think, sixth or seventh grade, honestly, had just some real encounters with God where He became real to me and wasn't just my parents' faith. I think I had a few of those growing up in elementary school, too, but probably, like, that deciding factor day, you know, where you're like, all right, I'm going to live my life for Jesus, would have been around that time. And so I just have never really looked back. I've had lots of questions along the way, a lot of heartache, but I love Jesus and I've always loved to give Him my life. And let's see here. I have a couple kids. They're amazing. I love being a mom. I'm a wife. I have the laziest dog in the world. She sleeps in all craziest positions. I live in a log home, which is wonderful to my Alaskan heart. I feel like the Lord just blessed me with that. In Oregon. It's funny, but it's just a promise and fulfilled that I get to live in every day. It reminds me of the Lord's love. So I'm a musician. Like I said, I've been playing the piano since I was five. I picked up the flute in band. If any of you are band kids, it's totally one of those fifth grade things I picked up and played all the way through high school. And since then, I've picked up various instruments like Irish whistles and accordions and Native American flutes, and I have drums from Africa. I just have like all sorts of fun little percussion things that I like to use while I lead worship. I love putting different sounds of the nations in music, and I love gathering in my home. So it's a little bit about me.
I love that. Angela, today we're going to talk about the topic of redemption after divorce. So why don't you take us on your journey?
I met my husband at a camp in Alaska on a worship team. And I think we were trying to do the math the other day. I was either 14 or 15 years old. I think I was 15 on the summer that I remember where we really started playing together. He is 5.5 years older than me, so I think he was 21 at the time. I was in high school. He was actually dating another girl. There was nothing there. That just happened to be when we met. But we met on a worship team, and I had been trained classically on the piano, and I was making this big jump that a lot of church musicians make who have been trained to read notes, and that is, you know, how do I play music off the page? And how do I lead worship, you know, not only with my head, but from my heart? And what are the skills necessary to do that? So we were like really just learning about all of that together. He had just picked up the guitar, and he could sing, which is why he ended up on the worship team in the first place, because he was a boy who could sing parts.
Which yes.
It's sometimes hard to find. So we, that summer, I just remember we, you know, we would go practice together in that chapel, and then we had a statewide missions trip that we were both on. We went to China together, and yeah, so I just had remembered seeing him from about then on at different events around the state of Alaska. Alaska is interesting in that it's really big, but there's not very many people in there. So it's small in that regard. And then when you get it down to even smaller sections, like those who are Christians, you know, and share similar faith, it gets even smaller. So it's really easy to see some of the same people over and over again at, you know, different conferences or gatherings and things. So that's how we just started building a friendship, honestly, just like that. Didn't anticipate anything happening. But then after I graduated high school, I actually left for a summer. I did a summer missions trip. And when I came back, he was leading worship at my college group. And so I was like, oh, hey. So we, you know, got together and we realized that, hey, we kind of like each other. We started dating. And then I went out on the road with that missions group again for actually 2 years. And we broke up before I went on the road. There was a rule that you couldn't date, but we broke up for other reasons too, but it was kind of convenient. So, but I remember being in India about a year in, and we had one mail day. And he had written me a couple letters. And so we just started writing back and forth. And I came home. I was intending to do furlough and then go out again. But then once I came home, I just felt the direction of the Lord and the leading of the Lord to stay in Alaska and stay with my people there. So I did. And Michael and I met up again, and we had been talking via letters and over the phone at that point. So I don't know. I don't know what happened, Bethany, but he came out of the building. He was working at a teen challenge center at that point. We went and picked him up, a buddy of mine and I sighed inwardly, and I just had this feeling. I was like, oh man, I'm going to marry that guy. And I knew that we were going to have a lot to walk through, but little did I know how much we were going to walk through. I just didn't even know the half of it. And that was probably, honestly, the goodness of God.
Yes.
When
he doesn't give us all the pieces in the puzzle, it's actually a gift. Yeah.
Isn't that a gift?
Yes.
I know. I am so glad. So that was one of those. I just didn't even know what I didn't know. So we did. We dated. We got married about a year later. And, you know, we've just been best friends for such a long time. We have so much fun together. We have the unique privilege of not only, you know, being married, but we actually really like to work together, and we work well together. And we are really good at certain things, and some things, you know, we have big holes and just stuff drops, you know, so it's like this constant thing that we're working on, you know, and at the same time, how we view things and how we approach life is vastly different. So it has been like the joy and the struggle of our marriage of how do we work together? How do we prefer one another? But so we got married, and we love to lead worship together. And we went through some Bible school together up in Alaska. We actually helped start a ministry up there called Northwind Global Ministries. And part of our vision really was to build a school in Alaska for Alaskans. 2/3 of Alaska is inaccessible by road. You have to get there by plane, boat, dog sled, you know. So we had teams that we would take out to villages and take out on the road system. It was just like a really enjoyable time in our life and forming in our hearts. You know, I find myself and him too, that we still draw on things of what the Lord did in us and formed in us back then. So all of this was going on, and little did I know that, you know, while I was in all of this, like, really wonderful things that were happening in the Lord and with community and each other, my husband was struggling. And he had been struggling with pornography for a while, and I just didn't even know it was going on. And eventually what happened is that it actually led to unfaithfulness in our marriage. And so it was later, you know, years later when I found out about that. And it, you know, if you have ever been a person that finds out there's been unfaithfulness in your marriage, it's like someone just hit you up the side of the head, you know, with a 2x4, and you just, it's almost even hard to think, you know, or know what to do, and just what is real, like, you know, all those things and questions and hurts and just come swirling around. And I remember having this conversation with him. I'm like, I just don't even understand or know, like, do you even want to be married to me? Because your actions are saying you don't. And he's like, I don't know how to explain this to you. I do, but I don't know how to stop. I don't know how to get help. I just, you know, he's literally just been struggling for so long. You know, he told me later, I came to find out that, you know, it's such a common thing that happens to our boys. You know, he went over to a friend's house and there was a magazine. And then he didn't know how to talk about it with anybody or with his parents. And it just, you know, ended up consuming him, which is really sorry. I don't know. I know that not everybody has that story, but for him, that's ended up what happened, and it got, was brought into our marriage. And so, you know, we did a little bit of counseling. We obviously had prayer. We had community walking through, you know, life with us, in life, just trying to help us, tried setting up accountability, and, you know, we even, like, went to some different places and some different people with healing ministries and just people that love to pray for people and, you know, help them find just their breakthrough and what they need on the inside. So the inside out kind of jobs. And I'm so thankful for all of that. It was probably, let's see here, I guess it was like a 7-year process of that. And then in 2015, I found out that there was more unfaithfulness happening in the marriage again. And I made the decision to say no more and to walk away. And I had told him before that if I had found out that he was cheating on me again, that that was a line that I was going to draw. And so I did. It was hard, obviously. It's hard. Divorce is so messy and so hard. And what do you do when you walk away from someone that you love? And the thing is, you know, when I made the choice to separate from Michael, love was never on the table. It wasn't about if I loved him or if I didn't love him. The fact was, is that I did love him. And, you know, love has boundaries. There's some very clear-cut biblical descriptions of love. And I didn't, I just felt like I needed to draw those lines, so I did. And we separated, and Michael came to me at that point, and he asked if he could go away for a little while and find, like, a check-in facility where he could get some help. He's like, everything else I've done so far has not worked, and I feel like I need some real intense, like, hands-on help. And he was thinking, like, for a month, and he asked me, not because he needed my permission necessarily, but if he was going to leave and go get some help, that meant he wasn't going to be able to be around mm-hmm. for things like, you know, financial help or, you know, being a parent that was there and available at that point. So, you know, I thought about it. I thought about my kids, and I wanted them to have the best possible relationship that they could with their dad. I knew this was going to be hard. My parents are divorced, so I remember walking through that and how hard that was. And so I said, yeah, please go get some help. That would be great. And so we actually looked online and found a place and, you know, had some help from some pastoral staff here at our church. And we found a center called Pure Life Ministries in Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And the founder of that ministry, he had actually been caught up in sex addiction and come through on the other side. And so he has a ministry now of helping guys, and it's men. It's a program for men that are caught in sex addiction. And all of his staff members, from what I understand, they have also been in the throes of that and come out on the other side, and they've all had either schooling or training specifically for counseling and helping people, you know, just walk through the hard stuff. Mm. And so Michael went and he did that, and it wasn't a one-month program. It was a 6 to 9 month program. Wow. And at the end of the 6 months, both his counselor and him and, you know, myself too, we decided that he really actually needed the extra 3 months. Mm. That would be good for him. So he stayed away for 9 months. And so, you know, I went from him and I were worship pastors at the time together at the church, and we were traveling a lot. And this was messy, you know, divorces are messy, but it seemed like our mess was a little messier than some other messes, you know, and I felt like even though that's all I had done and really known for the past 15 years, that I just needed to stop traveling. I stepped down from the worship pastor job. I felt like, if anything, I probably didn't need to pastor. I probably needed to be pastored in that moment. And I got myself an 8-to-5 job Monday through Friday and decided to just hunker down and get help that I needed and be there for my kiddos and not really make any kind of life decisions.
Tell me, you know, your life has completely changed. You're changing your jobs. You're not doing maybe the job that you were passionate about with leading worship. You're trying to adapt to what your kids need. What are you feeling in this moment? What does this look like with your relationship with the Lord? And even how are you feeling about your identity?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, I think aside from feeling shattered, I also felt a sense of relief. Anybody that has, you know, walked through this kind of story, or, you know, whether there's some kind of addiction going on, it doesn't have to be, you know, sexual addiction. You know, it could be alcoholism, or, you know, there's a whole host of addictions out there. There was actually, honestly, a sense of relief and a part of me that felt like I could breathe again. And as much as I was sad that that wasn't my full-time job, you know, I didn't have the weight of pastoring and I didn't need that. So it was actually good. And I stayed in community. I didn't leave. I didn't leave my church. I didn't leave my community. In fact, if anything, I just kind of drew a little bit closer, if I'm going to be honest. And I decided that it would not be good for me to just completely lay down giftings and callings in my life just because I was hurting. Yeah. And in fact, it was probably a good thing for me to keep serving, and that I would have something special to give, you know, in a time where it was gut-wrenchingly awful. And the thing with my story is that it was public, pretty public in our community, just because of who we are and were and what we did in our community, you know. And so people, whether I wanted it or not, people were able to see my process, you know, and walk with me in it. And even if they didn't know me personally, they were able to watch me. And so I felt just some of the sweetest times with the Lord in such areas of brokenness. I wouldn't trade it for the world. I'm so glad that that part of my story is part of my story. And that has to be Jesus, that you can thank him for that in the end.
Yep.
You know, only he can do that. And we know that. We say that. And then to live it and experience it is something else. And it's never fun in the process. And I'm not saying it was fun. It wasn't. But there was so much goodness in and of it all. I can't even deny that. It just, community was such a big part of my story. I did get called to go lead worship for a week in Hawaii at the YWAM base there. And when I got the phone call, it was, you know, early on a Saturday morning, and the text came in. Actually, they asked me via text, and I'm laying in bed with both of my children, because even though they have their own room, they don't want to sleep by themselves, you know, because they're just hurting.
Yeah.
And I'm in bed with my two kids, and I see this text. I'm like, we're going to Hawaii. Yeah, I don't care how much this costs us.
Yeah.
We need to get away. And I took my kids and a friend who helped me watch my kids while I led some worship, and we had some good family time. But while I was gone, my community had gotten a spare key to my little place I was renting and hacked my Pinterest account.
No
and went in
way.
And like redecorated, remodeled, bought me all new furniture.
Wow. That is a stellar idea to use the Pinterest account. I love that. That is awesome.
I know. So use your social media, people.
Yes. Oh my goodness. That's a whole nother level. That's awesome.
It was totally amazing. And they just showed up big in all sorts of ways. I had people that I still don't know to this day, that came to our pastoral staff, and they were like, how is Angela doing financially? And the truth is that, you know, you can't replace a career job income wise with a non-career job. So I got myself an 8-to-5 job, and a decent 8-to-5 job, but it's not what I've been trained to do. So it just wasn't as much money, you know, and I wasn't really making it every month. And we had people in our community who asked about it, asked what I needed deficit wise to make it. And for, I want to say a good year or two, I can't remember how long now, but I received a $1,500 check every month from people I don't even know, because my community decided that they were going to take care of me. And so, you know, I love my story in that it is the Lord doing outrageous work in my heart, and it is my community standing firm and like not going away. And so, you know, you fast forward through those 9 months, and Michael is about to come home, and he asks me, and he asks our leadership here at the church, pastors, and he's like, I am coming home soon. I would like to be able to come back and to go to church at Jesus Pursuit Church. But I don't know if that's cool with everybody. He said that there's a couple of reasons. One is I want to be able to be with my kids. But two, I know that everybody knows my stuff, and I can't hide. And that has been the number one thing about this addiction is that I, you know, in the past, if I've done anything, I've hidden. And I just know it would be easy to hide if I went somewhere else. You know, would you consider? And he asked leadership. Leadership came to me, and they're like, well, what do you think about that? And I'm like, well, I'm fine with it. What do you think about that? And I'm like, well, we're fine with it if you're fine with it. And so we did. He came back and he came to church. And in fact, our pastor here, Emily Tedrow, she took a Sunday and taught about restoration and forgiveness and family. And in that, she interviewed me and just asked me questions to allow our community to kind of hear and see, you know, how's Angela doing? How's Michael doing? What's about to happen? And just ask some of those questions and, you know, allowed conversations to happen. You know, the conversations that, you know, everybody's thinking anyway.
Yep.
So why don't we just talk about it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it was beautiful and hard. And, you know, he will tell you that coming to church every Sunday was like the hardest thing that he ever did.
Mm.
And for us, like even just coming to church and being divorced,
yep,
having kids together, honestly, one of my biggest things every Sunday, I was like, I just don't know where to sit.
Like, yes, Lord, if you could just tell me which pew to sit on, please.
Right. Like, what do I even do?
Yeah.
Like, it's just weird. Cause again, there was that thing. I was like, love is not off the table. I love you. I don't want to be married to you, but I don't, you know,
yeah,
but I love you. But, and I will say this too, I knew that I did what I felt like I needed to do. And at the same time, I didn't want to be closed off to anything that the Lord had for me.
Yeah.
But I also didn't want to make any decisions. I just wanted to give myself plenty of space and time. And I didn't ever want to feel like I had to do anything, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and so, you know, a couple of years into it, Michael's a different guy, right? And he's just the biggest servant that there ever was. And honestly, he just did my dishes all the time. The first time he came back and did my dishes, I cried and I was like, you can't do my dishes. Like, he was looking at me like, okay, why? You know? And I'm like, I don't know. But I don't, you know, it makes me feel things on the inside that I don't think I'm ready for. And just, you know, we just had to take things slowly in progression. And it wasn't even unto necessarily coming back together to be married.
Yeah.
It was just trying to restore friendship and trust, you know, at that point. And so, oh gosh, just so many little things here and there. And I remember thinking to myself, you know, if we ever were to get back together, I really would want it to be a re-choosing. Last thing I want to do is get married because we were married before. Though that's not an invalid reason. There's plenty of reasons to do that. And I didn't want to get married just because we have kids. So that's also a really great reason to get married again. Like, I don't know if that makes sense,
yeah,
but I wanted there to be a completely, I'm making a choice to choose you again. Mm-hmm. And so some time went on and he pulled me aside after a community worship gathering and he was walking me to the car and he said, hey, I need to talk to you about something. A friend of mine was praying for me the other day and he said, you know, I feel like God is sharing something with me for you that you have a couple things that you need to lay down in your life. And I don't know what they are, but it's essential for you to move forward. And so he was praying most weeks with a friend at that point. And so he shared that with his other friend and they prayed about it. And Michael in the conversation said, I felt like the Lord talked with me and there was a couple things that I needed to lay down. And one of them was you.
Wow.
And cause he never actually wanted a divorce. I don't know that I wanted a divorce either.
Yeah.
I did it, you know, but, and I was willing to follow through with my actions, but, he said, I don't blame you for any decision that you made. You had every right. And how I treated you was terrible. He's like, but if I'm honest, I think I actually have some hurt to process through. And you know, that I'm just carrying around with me all the time because I just want to be with you so bad. So I think that if you told me just today, right now, hey, I changed my mind. Let's get married. I would have to tell you no right now.
Yeah.
And when he told me that, I like smiled on the inside. I was like, oh, this might actually work, you know?
Yeah.
So it wasn't long after that where I came back to him after I had talked with some close people and pastors. And I was like, hey, what do you think about going to some counseling with me and taking another step forward just to see if marriage is even a possibility? I know you just gave me up and all, but what do you think about that? And he was game for that. I don't know if that was just a test or just something he needed to do in his heart. I think sometimes we lay things down and it takes years to pick them back up again.
Yeah, so true.
And sometimes you lay things down kind of like Abraham and Isaac.
Yep.
And it's like an immediate answer, you know, the breakthrough happens. So we did. We found some pastor friends of ours who loved us but weren't in our immediate world. Felt like they could give us some objective counseling, you know, knew our story. But we didn't put them through all the hell that our friends had gone through with us, to be honest, you know.
Yeah.
And we did. We just started counseling with them and started dating. And it was slow. Everything about this process was just slow. And we didn't even like kiss for the longest time, nothing. I just needed slow,
yeah.
slow, you know, and he did too. And we were just cautious. And so the summation of the story is we separated in June of 2015. And then this last year, September of 2020, we remarried with, all of our community standing with us. Mm-hmm. And it was such an amazing moment for sure. Our kids were standing with us by our side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our daughter was my maid of honor and our son was the best man. And we had our community there. It just, I don't know how to explain it except that because we chose to allow community in our lives and walk with people in a really close way through the nitty-gritty and the beautiful and the hard and the ugly, when we had our victory, it wasn't just a moment of celebration for us, but it was like a moment of celebration for the whole community, the whole family, you know?
Amen.
Because it was like a corporate victory. And I'm so glad that the Lord helped us and helped us choose vulnerability and helping us to listen. It took devastation and tragedy for that to happen. But in the end, you know, there's just such an element of being able to walk with people in your stuff that I was a believer in it before. I mean, it's not like I didn't have community before, but there's nothing like hardship to,
yep.
you know, to get you closer to people for sure. But now living through what I have lived and seeing what I have seen and experiencing what I have experienced, you can't ever convince me any other way. It is the way to go. We need each other. We're
Absolutely.
Better together. There's a reason why the Lord calls his church, you know, a body.
Mm-hmm.
It's because every joint supplies and we just really, really need each other. So that's my story in a nutshell.
Wow. Angela, you mentioned that throughout the entire process that you allowed yourself to keep your heart vulnerable. You had this posture, in my perspective, of just this open-handed, Lord, whatever you want to do. You weren't tied to anything. There wasn't a specific plan or a part of your story that became almost like the savior that you pined for above him. So if mm-hmm. someone's listening today and they're in the middle of maybe a separation or they've already been divorced, mm-hmm. how did you or what would you say to them to be able to keep that vulnerable, open heart to whatever God has for them?
Mm. Yeah. Well, first I would give you a scripture, and this is the one that took me through that whole process. And it's the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, mm-hmm. and he saves those who are crushed in spirit.
Yep.
And it's brokenness is a gift if we can see it, and it's beautiful. And I would say there's just so much goodness on the other side of, you know, your choice to allow God and people in.
Mm.
And, you know, I'm not saying don't be smart. Like,
yeah,
I had different levels of people, you know, that were allowed into my life in certain areas. You know, use wisdom. But don't let the thought of, well, I could get hurt, keep you from that. You know, then that's a tragedy all in of itself if we close up so much, then, you know, nothing can get in or out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would just say, man, hang tight to the Lord and get some friends in your life. I have friends who were allowed to speak into me. I mean, I had friends telling me, Angela, I know you have set these parameters in your life out of safety for you and your kids, but it seems like the Lord is moving you on. So don't hold so tight to the structure that you miss the gift of what is happening
that's good.
In your life right now. You know, and a lot of it would ended up being, you know, ways to move forward. It happened to be in relationship with Michael, but it could have been anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And I also would say that, you know, I didn't feel any pressure from the Lord to have to say yes to this.
Mm.
I could have chosen another path, and I really believe he would be with me.
Yeah. You know,
he's never going to leave me nor forsake me, but I felt like it was an opportunity. Not everybody has my opportunity. You know, a lot of people don't get healed of their addictions. And so there's just not that safe way to go back and to be reunited. So, you know, like, I hope people hear me in that too. I would never want to project my story on anybody else. My story is my story,
mm-hmm.
and it's beautiful, and I love it. But, you know, a lot had to happen for it to happen
right.
On my end and on Michael's end. You know,
mm-hmm.
he had to continually make right choices in order to create that safety and that and to be up and to be vigilant over that, or else we wouldn't have been able to move forward.
You know, you mentioned y'all got married in September. What has rebuilding your marriage look like?
Oh, man. Well, first of all, I call it the great settling. It's like everybody in our family took a deep breath and a sigh, and I just saw this calm and this peace come over all four of us that it was almost like we'd been holding our breath for the last 5 years. And finally, things were back in the order that they needed to be in. But the thing is that it wasn't back like in old times back. It was just like aligned correctly again. And so I call it the great settling. And it's really interesting because we have the gift of having 15 years of marriage before and friendship before. You know, we've known each other a long time now, but then at the same time, we had 5 years of being single, and, you know, there's a lot that can happen in 5 years, and we both grew and developed and became, you know, strong in certain areas that we weren't before, and we just, our communication is different. So it's an interesting mix of the familiar, but all things have become new at the same time.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're like 5 months into marriage now. I feel like, honestly, we're still trying to find our rhythm of life, being together in the same household in some respects. And then other things, it's like we never were divorced, even though I know we were. And then in some things, it's like I just have to relearn this all over again. This is just like not anything like it was. And it's so good. I honestly, Bethany, I thought that it was going to be a lot harder than it is. I just didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you've been through any kind of hardship, which we all have, mm-hmm. it's like you can get to this point where you're like, you brace yourself. Because you're like, I don't know what else is about to come my way.
Yep.
I've already been through a lot. So let's just prepare ahead of time. This could be really hard. But it just hasn't been, which I'm thankful for. And, you know, it would be fine if it was hard. I made my choice. We made our choice. But it has just been easy and wonderful and fun and, you know, eye-opening and learning and all of the things. It's an interesting mix of it feels completely new with a little bit of the familiar in there. So
I love that. I'm thinking from a woman's perspective, you know, when you've found out that there's an affair, or when you found out that there's pornography, what did choosing forgiveness look like for you?
I looked to Jesus because I knew I can't do anything without him and his guidance anyways. And I knew that he wasn't asking me to do anything that he hadn't already done.
You know, so
you can read about in the Old Testament, you know, the unfaithfulness of Israel and, you know, even in books of like Hosea and there's portions of scripture where he actually says, I'm going to hand you a certificate of divorce, you know, and then, but he comes back around and he forgives. And I know I could think of my own life and just ways I had been unfaithful in my heart to the Lord. And I remember him specifically telling me one time, I was like, God, I don't even know what to do or how to walk through this or how to forgive. Like, how do I even do this? And he just simply told me, he's like, Angela, it's nothing that you haven't done to me.
Wow.
And that was hard.
Yeah.
And a little, like, shocking against my pride. Like, I would never. Like, you know, I would never. But then if you look and you read about idolatry, you read about any of it. I mean, we have all fallen short of the glory of God. There's not one of us who doesn't need salvation, that doesn't need the blood of Jesus to cover our sins. And, you know, we tend to make things, certain things big and certain things little, and oftentimes they're flip-flopped. And God calls the little things big. And and I think he just kind of helped me in that moment know that, you know, it's totally possible and it's doable. And he did it and does it, and I can too, but it would only happen through his grace and his goodness and his leading. So I just tried to be a good follower. There was one time, too, I was talking with him, and I was, like, I was kind of frustrated in life. I didn't know what I was going to do, just even just some practical, like, you know, job things and making money as a single mom. You know, you got to get your hustle on.
Yep.
All the single moms out there, it's a real thing.
It's a real thing. Yes, it is.
It's a real thing, man. And just frustrated, I'm like, I cannot figure this out. God, what do you want me to do? You know, what do you want me to do? And he just broke in and he said, Angela, I never asked you or anyone else in the world to figure it out.
Golly, preach it.
He's like, but I did call you to follow me.
Yeah.
I was like, oh gosh. Okay. You know, I'm just like, how many times, I'm a thinker. I love to sit down and problem solve. And I even think that's good. And the Lord makes us that way. But he was trying to make a point with me, you know, of what was happening in that moment. In that moment, I was walking out of trust, you know, and I needed to come back in and let myself be led and rest. So, oh gosh, it's relationship, right? So it's
absolutely.
Like, you can give pointers, but there's no like, hey, this is your ABC system to walk through divorce successfully. Like, every story is different. Every person is different. Every situation. And so that's the beautiful and sometimes frustrating thing about relationship. But in the end, it's just the connection is always so worth fighting for.
So true. And the thing is like you said, like all the circumstances can be different from story to story, but the one who we're pointing to in this story is Jesus, and he never changes. He's always there. He's always good. He's always writing the best plan of all. So I love that we can depend on him. Angela, this conversation, girl, has been so good. Thank you so much for letting us dive into your journey. Thank you for your vulnerability and your transparency. How can our listeners connect with you?
Well, I have a website. You can go to angelapinkston.com. And if you want to get a hold of me, there's a tab there where you can push on that. Send me an email. Love to connect with you there. You can find me on Facebook. Angela Pinkston, that's my name. You can find me there. Also on staff at Jesus Pursuit Church. I am the worship pastor again, actually. And so you can go to jesuspursuit.org. And we also stream live our services. So we have Sunday mornings. If you all want to come and join us for a night of worship, first Fridays, we do just nothing but, you know, give your heart abandonedly to the Lord for as long as you want, which is usually about an hour and a half to 2 hours. Sometimes it goes longer than that, though. But just worship and loving the Lord together, and that's always really fun. And you can connect with us through Facebook or on our website there.
Wonderful. And we will, as always, have all of those links that she mentioned within the show notes. Thank you again, Angela, just for your time. Thank you also to Michael. I know he couldn't be on this interview today just because of schedules, but just, you know, him allowing the grace for you to be able to share your guys' story together. So honored, so grateful for it. So thank you so much for your time, friend.
Yeah, thank you so much, Bethany.
Absolutely. What another incredible interview. I loved my conversation today with Angela. So many takeaways as we unpacked her story, her journey of redemption after divorce. And I loved her reminder that the outcome of what our stories look like is so different. But the truth is that the Lord, he is our firm foundation. He is the one that we can stand on. He is the one that writes our story. So no story is better than one or another. No story is more redeemed than one or another. But the Lord's faithfulness, his goodness is our constant that we can stand on. I loved her posture as she was navigating through just a difficult season in her life. It was this posture of keeping her heart vulnerable, keeping her heart open to whatever God has for her. And I am just so inspired by that. You know, no matter what we're walking through, maybe we're struggling with a health issue, or maybe we have a child who has kind of gone on their own path and has walked away from the Lord, or maybe you are in the middle of a separation and you have no idea what's going to happen to your marriage. I want to encourage you. I want to stretch you a little bit today and invite you into this posture that Angela so beautifully showed us what it looked like tangibly. And that is just coming to the Lord open-handed, you know, praising him for who he is, praising him for the character that he has, and saying, Lord, I don't know what it's going to look like. I have no idea what the outcome will be, but I trust you. I really want you to think about that today. I really want you to try that on today. And I know it can feel like you are in a hopeless situation. And you may be saying to me, Bethany, you don't know what I'm walking through. And you're right, I do not. I have no idea. And I'm so sorry for the pain and the heartache that you are navigating through. But I do know Jesus. And I do know his character. And I do know that he has been faithful to me and every person
on this earth, the way that he chose us, broken and all, the way that he looked at our situation and said, I choose you. In fact, I will die on the cross for you and for your sins. So no matter what the circumstances are, I can confidently say he is the one that you are going to want to fix your eyes on in whatever your situation looks like. Well, friend, thank you so much for just spending some time with us during this podcast episode. If you are enjoying this podcast, can you take a moment to give us a review? By giving us a review, it keeps allowing us to give you some more content each week with new episodes. And we can't wait to share another story of God's redemption next time. But until then, you keep living those brave stories for Jesus. I wanted to take a moment to give a shout out to our sponsor of the Bringing Her Hope podcast, Friends of Hope. Friends of Hope is a nonprofit ministry dedicated to the support of Christian radio, Christian events, new media, and activities that share the good news of Jesus Christ. So thanks again, Friends of Hope, for sponsoring the Bringing Her Hope podcast so we can continue to share more brave and beautiful stories of God's redemption.